You're listening to Zero Hour, a Scarlet Rhapsody podcast.
Hey everyone, this is another edition of Zero Hour. We are at hour number 116. Wow. And on today's show, we will be talking about RegalCon.
Yeah, this is our first time going to that event. It is a two-day convention in Irvine, California. Beautiful Irvine.
So, RegalCon, we were actually invited to do panels for them. We were actually listed as guest panelists. This is like one of the first times we've actually been, this isn't our first time being invited as guests to do panels, but this is a time when we're actually billed as guests and we're featured on the website. So they have our picture by Joe Beverly as Persian Giovanni on the website. So it's like, hey, this is kind of neat.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to be there. And I looked at some of the people we were listed above, and I'm like, oh, those people are good too. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, Jared had this I'm so humble moment.
I always do.
So anywho, so RegalCon, this is like its third year. The website says RegalCon 2015, so I just assumed this was its third year in going on. And RegalCon originally started as a Once Upon a Time themed convention. Back when Once Upon a Time was killing it in ratings, you had the fandom known as the Oncers. They would get together here. They even had some guests from Once Upon a Time at this event, even though it's now been it's evolving itself to a multi-fandom type event.
Yeah. They had, what, two of the actors?
Three of the actors. Chad Michael Collins, who plays Cinderella's prince. The gal who plays Princess Jasmine, and she's also on Galavant. And Jared Gilmore, who plays Little Boy.
Yay.
Who's not so little anymore.
Well, as it turns out, children age.
Surprise, surprise. So again, the event originally started as a Once Upon a Time event, and the first time this year is where they're really trying to branch out and just try different universes of fandom. We've been seeing a lot more of that in the Southern California scene. Anime conventions, they've been coming and going. And most of the part, all the new ones come up and they just die off.
Well, because the problem is, conventions used to be started by people who actually trained under another convention. You had a lot of people who came up in the 80s working of sci-fi cons, who then started making anime cons in the 90s. I've done the research on this, folks. But the problem is, nowadays, you have a bunch of people say, well, this seems easy, I rent a place, I tell people to come over, people come over, done.
And it's not really like that.
A bit more complicated.
I was quite amazed because I found out that RegalCon was actually manned by two people, a mother and daughter team. And that was pretty amazing for what they were able to pull off in the course of 2 days. So it's kind of interesting to talk about this con because we did like about 7 panels for this event. And
yeah.
That was pretty crazy, but I enjoy just talking about what we enjoy, even if the audience is very, very, fairly small. RegalCon is a very small convention. And they were truly trying to get more people to come, especially on the last day, to the point where they made it free. And I didn't know Sunday was free until I was going through social media. And my friend Amber, she was like, hey, RegalCon is free all day today, just to get more people in.
Yeah, and that's, if we'd known, we probably would have promoted it as well. I think we knew fairly late.
Yeah, and by late, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. It's like, and plus, this is RegalCon, it's the weekend before Anime Expo, and everyone, even vendors and artists, are using this weekend to do any last-minute prep for Anime Expo weekend. Like, technically, I could have been working on one of my major projects over the weekend, however, I had a lot of time during the week to work on it, and I won't miss up any opportunity to do panels, but the point is, for the larger fandom community, even those outside the anime scene, a lot of them, their mind is on Anime Expo. Like, even the ones who I know who are just going to hang out outside the convention center to do cosplay photos, their minds are on Anime Expo.
Yeah, the problem is you can't really, even though the conventions aren't as close as they would have been, back a few years back, just the LA to Irvine kind of thing is still drawing from the same crowd, and that crowd is way more focused on Expo right now. But it would be the same thing if we had a, let's say in South Orange County, there was a convention a week before Comic-Con San Diego, you'd be facing the same exact problem.
Yeah, and 2017, the schedule of cons is already insane as it is, because after Anime Expo, 2 weeks after, is D23, and I believe the weekend after D23 is Comic-Con, and a lot of people I know are split between D23 and Comic-Con. They could only choose one or the other, because both are very expensive events.
Well, one of those conventions is going to be showing off stuff from Rebels, showing off stuff from Kingdom Hearts 3, and possibly having some of the people from Star vs. the Forces of Evil. And the other one is Comic-Con.
Jared likes his Disneys.
I don't like my Disneys. I like my Square Enix games, I like my Star Wars, and I like my Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
Which all come from Disney in a way.
In a way.
So.
And there'll probably be some Marvel thing there too, sure, why not.
So I really think what made this event kind of like how it turned out the way it did turn out with a small turnout is the fact that like Anime Expo is the weekend after. And I really do believe that this convention has a lot of potential. Because, like, the people that we interacted with, whether they were vendors or staff, were very friendly. They had their heart in the right place. So, Jared, what are your thoughts on the organization?
It felt understaffed to me. We kept seeing the same 3, 4, 5 people, maybe, running around and helping. And they were all very helpful and very friendly, which was great. But it felt like they needed a few extra hands running around taking care of a few small things here and there.
Yeah, one of them was for tech. We weren't really clear on if we had to bring our own HDMI and VGA cables, especially when the TV is kind of far away from where the laptop is supposed to be.
Yep.
But luckily, we had someone on the tech team help us just get everything set up.
And it worked for most of our panels. It worked for all the panels. I mean, the ones where we had to have audio, it's a little more complicated because the audio cord could not reach, and I have some audio cords, but I don't have particularly long ones, and I don't even know where some of my audio cords are even stored anymore.
I mean, I thought about bringing my speakers from home, but it was only for one panel, and it was a very small room with decent acoustics, so we actually did up the volume on Jared's laptop for that one, and we were still able to work it that way.
Yeah.
So, being a panelist, how is being a panelist at RegoCon different from, like, any other con we've been to?
Because
we actually did debut and also test run a couple new panels at this event.
Well, one of the issues that we ran into, and actually it wasn't just us, a lot of panelists ran into, is we were never quite sure which of the two rooms we were supposed to be in.
Oh yeah, that's right, because on the website it says something different, and the website wasn't even updated until almost like the day before with a PDF copy of the schedule, and then on the program guide they gave us something completely different. They actually put Dangerous Women Anime at the same time as Moon Prism Pop-Tarts, when originally it's supposed to be one of the first things on day one. And there was a confusion between, because on the program guide, it says Irvine and Los Angeles rooms for both panel rooms. It should be a ballroom C, and Los Angeles and Irvine are supposed to be one panel room, so we were just kind of confused. It had, like, a lot of people confused because of that misprint on the program guide, and anytime someone came in or just kind of peeked their heads, like, oh, we're running this such and such panel. And I kind of felt bad because, like, there was a guy who was, like, doing a Photoshop panel, and he said, like, oh, dude, you're in the wrong room, but then it turned out it was the right room because, again, confusion in the program guide.
But by the time he was at the other room, he was basically getting settled in, so we just threw our hands in there and said, whatever.
Yeah, we'll just tell people, like, just come to our video games panel.
Yeah, just, it got confusing for attendees, got confusing for the people doing the panels. The panel rooms themselves had a lot of room. One of the Los Angeles Irvine room had a water cooler in the back, which was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very, very nice venue, I'll say that, but they needed signs on those doors.
It would have been nice, just as a quick fix, if they got, like, whiteboards and said, like, oh, these are the panels that are running today in this room. Make sure you're in the right place, because some people will just awkwardly peek their head in, like, is this the right one? And people sometimes are too shy to just kind of ask, and, like, you know, it would have been nice if they did, like, a sign in front of the room, like, even a whiteboard, or really even just something printed out, like, these are the panels that are happening to in these rooms right now. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the venue, because you had mentioned something about the venue. So, RegalCon was held at the Marriott in Irvine. It's right by the airport. It's a pretty fancy hotel. I mean, not like Gaylord kind of fancy, but it has like this nice resort kind of Newport Beach kind of vibe to it. Like, one side is the poolside, and you can like just relax and grab drinks there. And throughout the hotel, you can get some really nice locations for photos. Like, there was even like this book lounge area where you can just kind of plug in and like just kind of lounge by pillows, because that's where we decided to eat our salads for lunch that, during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there was even a Starbucks there, so I can go grab some frappuccinos before we get our day started. And you also had the cookie dough cake pops.
I did.
And there's, like, a lot of hedges where you can get some really nice photos in the background. Like, in the front of the hotel, there's, like, those two, like, what, those giant lawn chairs?
Those giant lawn chairs that everyone was, like, taking turns getting photos in, which was kind of fun.
And there's, like, palm trees where you got your Jungle Cruise tour guide photos there. And then there was also the fountain in front of the hotel, which looked like a giant wishing well, because I was cosplaying as 50th anniversary Snow White. Like, hey, this kind of looks like a giant wishing well.
Yeah, like I said, the panel rooms were very nice. The dealer's hall was about the right size for what they needed. But just, the venue itself is very, very small, but not cramped. And it works really great for like a smaller events, just like this one. Or even there's certain conventions I could have thought of that could have done well here if they'd started in this area.
Yeah, I think we ran into a guy who was asking us, like, oh, is this con worth it? And he mentioned that FurryCon, like one of the largest furry cons in the country, is actually held here. And there's like a lot of party space and a lot of space where you can just kind of mingle and just hang out with friends, like even during after hours. Like, I thought the lobby, even though I'm just kind of against the idea of like going to the lobby and just hanging out and not buying a badge, like this is even like a nice place to just even hang out with friends, like during the con, during after hours, just catch up, have a drink or two. Because they even had like a really nice lounge for to grab drinks. There's a poolside where there's like even like a human chess table, which was pretty cool. And I think they also had like a volleyball court or a tennis court down there too.
Yeah, they had quite a bit of amenities in that area, which I assume you have to go to a lower floor with your key to get into. But then there's this nice little terrace that's above it that has a bunch of tables and chairs and a fire pit. And you have, the beautiful lobby. And, you know, the sides of the hotel have nice greenery. There's a lot of nice locations for photo shoots, nice locations for a lot of things. And really a good venue for a smaller convention.
Mm-hmm.
A really good venue.
Yeah, this is a nice place for, like, a small convention. And again, I really do believe RegalCon has a lot of potential to being, like, a multi-fandom type of convention. But I just think, like, if they just time it right, and if they just market themselves appropriately, like, to show up at events, show up at conventions, tabling, just so people can kind of be in the know. Because I didn't know about this event until my friend Amber had mentioned it, and they need a panelist. Like, okay, I'll just go ahead and just check it out. Because like I said, like I think a lot of our friends would have wanted to come to RegalCon, but the thing was, again, just the timing before AX, which is a huge issue when you're doing conventions in Southern California.
Yeah, if this was mid-May, I think it would have done a lot better.
Oh, absolutely, because there's not a lot of people in California who do, for example, Fanime, and they just kind of want to do something like, yeah, I kind of feel like going to a con, but I don't want to go all the way up to Fanime. To do a con, because I know there's also that crowd here too.
Yep.
And also having like something that's multi-fandom that people can enjoy from not just the anime scene, just like from everywhere. Because I really do, because this really attracted like a lot of fandom organizations and groups in the tiny dealer's hall. Because I think like at the end of the day, your conclusion was, it was mostly, like, Disney and Star Wars people at this con.
Yes, that's what I noticed, at least. I didn't see... I mean, there were some people doing anime stuff, I think.
Yeah, I saw Vocaloids. I saw one Katori from Love Live.
Yeah, there was a Love Live. And I saw a lot more people from, like, American media stuff. There was a guy from Walking Dead. There's tons of people from Star Wars, Marvel, DC, Disney stuffs. And that seemed to be mostly what I saw there, Which is good. That's a good start for you wanting to multi-fandom. You're getting people from different walks of life getting together there. And, I mean, the video game panel, I think, was one of our most popular panels.
So they had, like, those two guys who were just, like, super engaged, and they were all like, you know what, we want to check out this panel. We just got to do the costume contest, and then we'll come back for the panel.
And they did. So, you know, there's already a lot of seeds planted. It's just more, like you were saying, the advertising side of things. And like I was saying, getting a few more people on staff just to make sure everything's running a little bit more smoothly. And you might have a really good event here. But this year was, you know, you can feel that the training wheels are still kind of on the bike a little bit.
Yeah, like, I really think that this con has a lot of potential to being something a lot better and to really grow. It's just kind of a shame that, well, there wasn't a huge lot of people. And I think I've overheard some of the vendors were also saying the same thinking the same thing, that they were expecting more people to break even. It felt kind of bad for them, too, because there's some really good vendors in there, too. Like, we actually got the Master Ball So there was, like, this booth that had Pokeball chargers, and we were all like, you know, we kind of could use those.
Yeah, you had Great Balls, Ultra Balls, probably the standard, and we made a comment about, like, oh, do you got the Master Ball? And he's like, why, yes, I do. And it's like, crap, now we need to have this. So, yeah, Master Ball charger. So if you see me walking around as Giovanni, instead of carrying around my Meowth, I'll probably be carrying around a Master Ball, and if it's fully charged, it'll actually be glowing, which is actually kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And there was also a booth called Nerd Herd that sold, like, various nerd wares and just accessories. Like, they had, like, the glasses that had the engravings of, like, different fandom signs. And you were thinking about, like, getting one of all the houses from Hogwarts.
Yeah, as a Christmas present to my family. Because it's going to be a bigger expenditure, and so, but it's also going to require an order from them. So those two things come together. Getting it by December shouldn't be that big of a deal.
It was also really pleasant talking to them, too, because I really enjoyed just... The nice thing about small cons, being small cons, especially one like this, is, like, you can really have a conversation with people there. We ended up getting, like, this tote bag, this Mario-themed one for your brother-in-law.
Like, we're just telling everyone their Christmas and birthday presents on there. Mm-hmm. It's great.
I mean, they even have, like, a Death Star purse, and I'm like, oh, I could use this when I bound as Krennic.
That one sold out.
Yeah, that made me sad, but hopefully next time around I can get my Death Star bag, because Imperials rule. Speaking of Imperials, you bounded as in your Imperial bound on Sunday.
Yep, the new variation of the blue tie. I really like the blue tie. Until I can replace it with either a Death Star or a TIE Fighter tie.
Yeah, and you ran into the 501st.
Yeah, I got a picture with some of the troops. Asked them the question that's been bothering me is, what is the Imperial salute? And all of them were like, yeah. Like, I love the fact that this franchise has been around since 1977 and they never fully came together with what the Imperial salute is. Which is weird, because in Spaceballs they actually do have the Hail Scroob salute, so I find that very...
How does that go?
Hail Scroob.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it's one of those things where I was like, have I missed it? And I'm like, no, you never really see Stormtrooper salute. And whenever Darth Vader comes in, it's just all the guys just immediately go stiff-backed and, like, clicked heels kind of a thing. And I'm like, I guess it's the closest you got is just the stiff-back click heels. And it's kind of boring to me, but I guess it's what I'm going to have to do from now on. It's most of the people I know who do officers, that is a lot of their photos. So I assume that's kind of the thing. Mm-hmm. But the guys are very cool, as were the Mandalorians. I can't remember what the SoCal clan is called, but they were also really cool people. We talked with them for a while.
Yeah, we even caught the tail end of the Mandalorian Mercs panel, because they were right before our Sailor Moon panel.
I totally want to mod toys into making Mandalorian weapons.
It was actually really interesting, because even though we got the tail end of it, we were able to, like, just have some personal Q&A with them. They were talking about, like, how they use like World War II style weapons for Mandalorian stuff, and it's modified it to look more sci-fi.
Well, all the weapons in Star Wars were that way because it was what props can we get a hold of and modify quickly. So it's essentially they went and got some World War II guns and then went to like a hardware store and just picked up extra pipes and washers and whatever they could find and glued it all on, painted it black and go there, black and silver, and there's your futuristic blaster, this prop revolver we just turned into something else.
I also like the fact we were talking about what to wear under the armor. It's like one of the gals was like wearing like jeggings and like just workout kind of tights underneath it, and one of them also mentioned that they were wearing scrubs.
Yeah,
which I never would have thought you could use as under armor.
Well, yeah, because all it needs to do is look. It has to just be the same color all the way through, and it needs to be able to hold the armor on top of it. And like I thought, using a flight suit or a jumpsuit would be a good idea. And it is. It's just that issue of getting to your zipper and being able to pee, or whatever other restroom activities you may need to do. Or you do what Sailor Moon cosplayers do. You don't eat and you don't drink until you're done with the costume.
That's right. Yeah, there were some pretty good, interesting things in the exhibit hall from the little time we were there. I met Designer Daddy, who does all these amazing Disney costumes. If you don't know who he is, I recommend looking him up. Just do a Google search. What news organization did a video about his story of how he created Designer Daddy. It's very inspirational. I was very blessed to have had a chance to meet him, shake his hand. I just kind of regret we didn't selfie together. Yeah, check him out. I forgot what was his name, but we actually sat in on a panel on Sunday. It's about weird Hollywood. Jared, tell us more about this panel.
So it's an author who used to work for National Lampoon who went and started working on, I believe he worked on Weird California first, where he was just going around to different locations that just have oddities. And this is his follow-up to it, Weird Hollywood, where he's specifically focusing on stuff within the Southern California region, Hollywood specifically, but also places around there. You know, hotels where weird stuff has happened, places where people died, locations where people claim there's hauntings, and it's kind of cool just hearing his random stories of the. But then on the same time, it has the non-paranormal stuff. Like he was talking about for Strange California, he had to like finagle an interview about the largest ball, rubber band ball, and things like that. And he just got all these various stories by just exploring and talking to people and going off the beaten path. And you know, talked about his laments on how a lot of the historical California buildings just get torn down after, you know, X amount of time. And that's why a lot of these hot spots from yesteryear just don't exist anymore. But I'd say California's not the only one who does that, because there's so many, like, classic clubs and bars I'll never be able to go to. I think CBGB's is gone, or it's back, but it's not the original. Birdland, the original one, is Charlie Parker's original one, is gone, and now it's just a different Birdland somewhere else. It's just not the same to me. Like, I want to go to the historical location. Now my only options in LA, I think, is the Whiskey A Go-Go, and I think one more other club from that general region was the actual original club of that time. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of sad that the history is just kind of being eaten away by progress. And we don't care about our historical buildings and our history. And, you know, despite the fact that, you know, we try to talk about how, you know, oh, we care so much about, you know, California classic, this and that, and we really don't. And it's unfortunate. So his book chronicles some of those things that are gone, some of the things that are still here, and just some of the stranger parts of it. It was a very cool panel. It's interesting for him to kind of talk about the process of making the book more so than what's in the book, which made me realize that, like, as an author, if I am doing a panel about one of my books, I think telling the story of how this all came together and what lengths I had to go to get some of the, you know, interviews or whatever, I think is a way more interesting story than here's the history that you could just as easily read in my book.
Yeah, it was a very interesting panel. I just regret that, like, we didn't have time to pick up his book after before the end of the day, because, well, it looked really interesting.
That was one of those weird things that we stopped by his booth and we saw the books, but he wasn't there.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I wonder
where the guy is. And then as we're going through, we're like, oh, I guess we'll just sit on a panel, and it just happened to be his panel. Like, oh, that's where he was. he had left for his panel when we got to his booth.
Yeah, because by the time we were done with panels, like,
we were done with panels, yeah.
Everyone was wrapping up in a dealer's hall, like, about,
half
like, an hour early.
People were gone by the time we were done, yeah.
It's like, wait, I still want to make a purchase! Yeah, one booth had a Stickler Meeseeks plush.
It's just regular Meeseeks plush. Mm. You can make your Meeseeks however you want it to be, whether it's a Stickler or not.
Always have Sticklers following you around, though.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do when you're a cosplayer, so you're just a bunch of people following you around telling you that, wait, what color are your socks? Black? Good. And just disappears.
I'm pretty sure, like, some
people think
dealers...
I'm joking. I'm totally honest about that one. There are people who will freak out about the wrong color socks.
I'm pretty sure there's gonna... we'll see the same dealers again at Anime Expo. Like, I was very happy to see Sakura Saku at...
Well, they specifically said they'd be there.
Yeah. I was very happy to see them there because I know Roxy, one of the organizers of RicoCon, she wanted more anime dealers, so I contacted Sakura Saku, like, hey, check out this event. I know they're local to the area, and I was very happy to see that their salesperson was dressed like Congo, like, yay, my people!
Yep. It's always kind of fun to see the handful of booths where they're dealers or whatever, but they're also in costume or what have you. I actually do enjoy that. Mm-hmm.
So, Jared, now that we're wrapping up this episode of Zero Hour, what are your general thoughts on RegalCon, and how would you recommend this? Or how would you recommend the con should proceed?
This is a hard one for me to answer, and something I've been thinking about since the event ended. Because on the one hand, I've been to small events like this, and I've been to first-year events, and had a miserable experience. And RegalCon was not a miserable experience for me. It was kind of one of those ones where at first I was kind of annoyed, and then when I kind of realized what was going on, I just kind of felt pity, I guess. Like, I can see, as I said earlier, the seeds are planted. There is good here, but it feels like harvest is so far away right now. And this could be a con that this could have been its last year for all we know. And hopefully it wasn't. What they need to do, you know, as I've said over and over again, is, you know, it's all about the staff, a little bit more organization and being prepared, especially on the audiovisual side of things, advertising, and probably changing the date. And those are probably the three things that can be done. But I can go to another con, I'm not going to mention its name, that may or may not actually have another event this year. It may have gotten a year two from someone who I was talking to at the con, mentioned that they want to do the panel. They want to do a panel at that specific con. And the people kind of running that con are jerks. And they do everything super haphazard. They don't think things through. There's a lot of problems. And you can find... I'm not going to say the name of the con because I'm not going to badmouth them here. But you can find it in our backlog. There's a convention we definitely was a first year that we did not like last year. And this was not in that category for me. This was very much that category of, I can see the potential, but it's just not quite there yet. So I guess my recommendation is, one, let's all hope that they kind of get things working out a little bit smoother next year. And two, if you want just kind of a chill small con where you can kind of get to know the vendors and get to know the panelists, this would probably be a great place to do it. I'm not sure if I would do panels again, at least not 7 panels again, but heck, it was one of the few times I could consider myself like one quarter of the entirety of the con's programming was us. So yay us.
Yay us indeed. Well, I really hope that RegalCon just kind of figures out what their niche and what they want to do in the future. Right now it's hard for me to make a recommendation to, like, if you like such and such, check this out, because I really do feel that RegalCon has a lot of potential of being like a small yet cozy multi-fandom type event. I don't really see RegalCon as being huge, like, say, Phoenix Comic Con or Los Angeles Comic Con, because I really do feel that there is this untapped market in Southern California, especially, to do a multi-fandom con, but do it, but treat it like as a small, cozy, home-like feeling to it. Because there are anime cons that do get a lot of love for being like being very small, very cozy, easy to talk to people, just being a great environment to like just hang out at, especially with a venue like this. So again, I really wish RegalCon the best in the future, and I really hope to see them a lot more in the future. I wouldn't mind doing panels again for them. Not sure if I do 7, but I'm pretty sure that we were able to handle ourselves well.
Yeah, there wasn't a problem of handling ourselves and all that. It's just a lot of work and a lot of preparation.
And also, also the fact, like, I really did want to just see, like, just some of the guest events and just kind of, like, meet some of the exhibitors more. And again, I felt like, I thought the dealer's hall was going to close at 5 o'clock and everyone's going to wrap up, but everyone's wrapping up a lot earlier than expected. But that's more of just kind of the rhythm of the thing. But again, I wouldn't mind running panels again. I really did like interacting with Roxy. She was very professional in emails. And I really hope to... I really hope that this con succeeds and just finds their niche, because like I said, there is an untapped market for small multi-fandom conventions, especially in Southern California. A lot of the East Coast, they kind of have this type of niche type of event within their cities, but there's not a lot within Southern California. So with that said, well, we got Anime Expo coming up this weekend.
Yay.
So, Jared, where are you costuming as?
I don't know.
I don't know. I love that
characters
series.
Characters and things and stuff. I'm going to be running around covering press events and trying to interview people for a project. And that just sounds massively exhausting. And I get to do that over the course of 4 days. Yay.
Go Fluttershy. Louder? Louder! And meanwhile, I have 2 boat cosplays and idols. So yeah, boats and hoes.
Yay. Bring the glow sticks.
We forgot to get them.
Well, whose fault's that?
We didn't have time to go to Disney.
You can buy glow sticks at a dollar store.
I want to get like the Star Wars glow sticks or lightsabers. Like tiny lightsabers. But can function.
But they only have them for certain characters. So whoever you have on stage at your little concert, you're only going to be able to root for like 3 different people.
Yeah, I'm going to the Aquarius concert tomorrow. That's going to be fun. But because I'm cosplaying as Risco, you can get like 2 green lightsabers. And I'll be Chihaya on day 2. You can get 2 blue lightsabers.
Yeah, let me know when I can pull out 2 purple lightsabers. And be all Mace Windu. And root for Azusa.
Cher loves Azusa.
I do. She is one of my top 3 women I wish was real, but totally kind of actually is real. But I doubt she's looking for a husband, because she probably has married some Japanese billionaire.
Anywho, we're going to go back to preparing for Anime Expo, and we're going to upload this podcast. So we will see you at the con.
Yay.
Yay.